Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is part three of the Drunkcast on the Distraction Pieces podcast. We have just done 10 minutes of podcasting before realising I wasn't recording. That's how drunk we are already.
Team three wankers.
So this week's podcast is brought to you by Redshift Rebels.
Redshift Rebels.
Tell them about the Riker collaborations.
It just feels false.
Yeah,
now.
We've just said all of this.
We've said loads of beautiful
You've
things
got
about
some t-shirts.
Now it's like
You've got some t-shirts. What's
We've got some fat t-shirts.
Yeah.
And also
because I've got a load of Riker art in this building. So in the new studio I've got the Biggie Buddha, the World Cup. In my house I've got the Stormtrooper on the cross. So I'm a big fan. Oh, and I've also got the totem pole of comic book.
Exactly, mate, which are all awesome, but you will spend a fortune on those.
Yeah.
You can get a
Shut up, Chris, let's start the podcast. So here we are. There was the theme tune. This is the Distraction Pieces. So what were you saying, Chris?
So basically,
we did that last time when we weren't recording, and it was even funnier the second time.
And then I just still bulldozed through, didn't I?
You did.
You're exactly, mate. You freestyled it there. It weren't the classic.
Yeah.
It weren't the classic. Exactly, mate.
Yeah.
You moulded it with a little bit of. One,
yeah,
put yourself
yeah,
in a spin with it. Yeah. Wash your dryer.
So ultimately, what you're saying was it excellent or was it not?
It was
so
excellent.
Good?
It was an amalgamation. One of mine and my brother's favourite moments. Like we try and go around my dad's once a week. My parents split up when I was about 16, and we had this thing. We'll go around my dad's.
Boo, fucking who?
But one of our favourite moments was my dad just total accidental partridge. And we've been talking about. I think for some reason we talked about the Fonz, and my dad went, by gum. It just absolutely killed us. Just, by gum. Anyway, that's what you did there. You went from an in one to exactly, mate. So Riker, some t-shirts, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah. You just totally did a me there.
Yeah,
have a little look on our Redshift Instagram and Facebook and stuff and on a website, and we've got decent kind of clothes and stuff and caps and we're going to do limited runs. We're going to put out a t-shirt every month, and it's going to kind of
you've got hardcore listing t-shirts as well.
There's hardcore listing t-shirts which you will be able to buy at the live event as well. And yeah. I think you call if we take some Drunkcast t-shirts.
Yeah, I'll grab some Drunkcast tees. I need to pop to the web store.
Yep.
Yeah.
And we'll try and get rid of some of those there as well.
Try and get rid of all the Craig ones.
Yep.
They're left over.
Where are we on the chart there?
We're still selling all right. We've sold these numbers. I mean, if anyone wants
to know. Who sold the most?
I'm number one. You're number two. Chris, number three. We should mention that at speechdevelopmentrecords.com you can get exclusive Drunkcast tees. There's not a lot left, and we're not doing another a run of them. So there's a Scroobius Pip one, a Whiff In one, and a Craig's Dojo one. So yeah.
To be fair, mine is still the best.
It's really good. Yeah. They're all really good. So head there and check them out. Now, I gave you three options when we thought we were recording and we weren't. You might want to change your choice. You might not. Stu, how would you like to start with a revelation about yours and Chris's relationship?
Yes.
A revelation about how manly Chris is, or a couple of jokes?
Let's go for the relationship.
You go for the relationship, right.
The original relationship.
No, just where your relationship's at. So, you two, let's give a little breakdown. In the last episode, we talked about how you met.
Yeah.
Since then, you met at the club night properly, and you got on well. Mm-hmm. You're close, right? You've got a business together now in Redshift, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You promote.
Spit it out,
you've got your club nights that you promote together. You've now got a big podcast, Hardcore Listing.
Yeah.
Smash out. So you're close. He's met your kids. Yeah.
Yeah.
You've met family. All that. We were in the car the other day, and his phone went, and it was you. Stew Brush. That's what you're on his phone as, Stu Brush.
Can I just
That's how personal and intimate your relationship is.
I bet
you've got a business together. You've met Stu Brush because you're Stu that works at the Brush. He's not even got your full name in his phone. And I made a little mental note there. So I need to
reveal You're such this. A psychopath, mate. So, you're such a nut job. So I've just never. Do you know what? Do you know what, mate? Do you know when I go to call you? When I go to call Pip? Do you think I'm putting Scroobius Pip like a cunt, or do I spell his first name?
Stu Brush.
Every time I go, whenever I put in his first name, obviously, which isn't Scroob, yeah. Right? It comes up as Scroobius Pip, like he's somehow fucking got into my phone and put his fucking name in there.
I got power.
As his silly little pirate rap name.
Something really funny happened yesterday that works with this, right? So bearing in mind, since we've been doing the podcast together, we recorded it.
Just getting my phone out. There's Stuart Whiffin. Oh, I've got two names. I've got two different ones for you.
Oh, that's good.
Oh, well done. I never thought we'd get into
Stu Brush.
Phone book insults.
Little message from Scroobius Pip there.
Scroobius Pip. So what's my name as?
Chris Glasson. Yeah, that's your full name.
Fuck you, man.
Student. Not Chris Basildon.
Yeah.
Chris Toilets.
Chris Ladd.
Chris Band.
Right. So yesterday, since we've been doing the podcast, right, you get on well with my family and you come round and
yeah, they're all right.
Right.
What? Carol Brush.
Right.
So, Layla Brush.
Right. So we
one of her daughters is now Basil.
Right. So... You know, he's
I only just got that. So, I thought it was a Basildon reference, and then I got the Basil Brush reference.
So
sorry.
The kids think he's great, and Carol's like really fond of him. And
he says that you get annoyed because your kids think he's really cool.
No, they do. They do.
They get really annoyed.
It's really weird because like Layla knows that I'm not very bright, so she's like, "When's Chris coming around? I need someone to help me with my homework." That's not a lie either, is it?
It ain't a lie. The only time I didn't have the energy was on the fast.
What's that?
And
exhausting.
I did two questions. I was like, Layla, today ain't the day, love. I can't be bothered.
So anyway, you've been out with my family and we went up to London. And so obviously, you know Carol, my wife, really well. And yesterday, you was coming round to, and we was going to go off to Tunbridge to do the podcast with Blue Tones.
Yeah.
And it was about 11 o'clock, I think he was coming around a bit later, and Carol went, what time's that bloke coming over? And I went, Chris! And she went, yeah. That bloke! I thought, it's fucking Chris!
I love it, particularly as you record all the episodes of the podcast at your house.
Yeah, in her shed.
In her shed.
You know what? Let me explain that. Let me give you a quick rundown on that.
That's going to go wrong,
isn't it? That means your wife fancies me.
Brilliant.
Because she's acting like she doesn't know my name.
Who is he?
Gentleman Craig Gleason.
Who's that guy? Anyway, so number two, a revelation about how manly Chris is, or a couple of jokes. Revelation.
Yeah.
The other couple of jokes about Craig Gleason.
No, I've got a joke for you and a joke for you.
Oh,
exciting!
Oh,
okay.
I don't really tell jokes.
No,
but I thought I'd try and mix things up in 2017.
Oh, okay.
So the manliness. So as we know, me and Chris spent three days together. He stayed over mine because there was a UFC on Friday night and Saturday night, which we can talk about if we want to.
Okay.
That one, the main event on Friday night, was one of the fights of the year.
Yeah.
We were also playing a lot of VR, which you came and got involved in. It's the most popular of the live streams we did because you were genuinely... You came over... Oh, sorry, little burp. You came over cynical. you came over cynical, but you were... We're blown away, right?
It was amazing. It was quite obvious that everybody wanted to see Granddad Simpson fucking see the future for the first time. And it was fucking amazing.
But so in that time as well, I'd had an almost one ton outdoor pizza oven delivered. And I'd rented all this equipment to winch it up. That got intense. We won't go into that. But we needed to go and get some breeze blocks to build a stand for it. So... We went. Who are you going to call? I thought we'll go to B&Q because I'm ignorant. It turns out I thought B&Q would have breeze blocks. So I looked on their website and we go there. The Basildon one hasn't got breeze blocks. Old Chrissy boy here, he's like, it's a stonemason's in Laindon and they're near the station. And I'm like, oh, all right.
It's very Basildon's right, we'll, patio from the slabs from.
We'll give that a look. So we go down there.
I'm there a lot. Returfing.
Mate.
So we go down there and we pull up and there's a lot of bricks and that. So I go in and I'm talking to the guy at the counter. I'm like, I just after some breeze blocks. I need 24 of them because I wanted three layers of eight. Comes to 24 maths.
Yep.
And I'm like, I need 24. I'm like, mate, do you think that'll all fit in one trip in the car? Because my concern was I didn't have my car at that time. I was like, I don't want to overweigh down.
24 breeze blocks in your car?
In Chris's car.
Oh, right.
My car.
I was like, I don't want to overweigh it down if we go over speed bump. I was like, if we do two trips, then we do two trips. It's not that far. And he goes, oh, what car you got? So I turn around to Chris. I'm like, what car you got? Chris is mid-stride at this point. Let's say, what would you say your average gait is? Your average stride? About half a metre? About a metre?
Probably a metre.
About a metre. Chris's stride at this point was at least a metre and a half. He's striding out. He's in his...
Well, like a lunge.
It's a bit of a lunge. He's in his combat shorts, obviously.
Right.
He's spinning his keys on his finger.
Such a cunt.
Spinning his keys on his finger. And I say, what car you got? He doesn't look round. There's no eye contact. In fact, he's striding forward, mid-sentence, I say sentence, he takes a right, and he's going off down the shop. So the guy's asking, like, what car you got? Chris just, face still forward, just as he turns right, Mondeo! Stomps off in the most manly manner I've ever seen. Such a geezer. Didn't give eye contact or come over and go, all right, mate, it's a Mondeo, actually. It's just Mondeo, turn the corner, striding off at great pace. And it was just, it was the most manly thing
I've ever seen. The weird thing
I was in tears afterwards because I called him out afterwards.
He was like a duck out of water because he wanted to write a poem about the whole fucking confrontation. He thought I was going to walk up to the counter, introduce myself, tell him about my life story.
Mondeo!
All the guy wanted to know is, would 24 breeze
mate,
blocks
it was the turn, it was the corner turn. And they won't see this in the podcast, but Chris is going in some pace. I was like, Mondeo. just as he strides off with no looking around. No,
but that geezer, do you know what, Stu? That guy just knew immediately.
Pip, don't fuck him about. Recreate that. I'll video this and I'll put it on.
Ask me what car I've got,
right,
Stu.
Okay, ready? Hang on, go. What car you got, mate?
Mondeo.
Mate, it didn't recall.
That's
it,
right.
It didn't recall. We'll do it again.
It didn't recall because it was shit.
You go in, you tell me where to go.
Why is it not recording?
This is podcast gold.
Stu's filming his own face.
My phone might be full. Let me just
Your phone's full.
You can film it on my own.
Oh, granddad.
Send it to me.
This is like VR all over again.
I'm away from the mic. This is like when Stu's family
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we're still recording, aren't we?
Yeah, we're still recording.
Yeah, that's it, mate. That's how it works. We've only done this.
So this is Chris in the Stonemasons.
What car you got, mate?
Mondeo.
That's an artist's interpretation, by the way.
Oh, it's fucking golden.
Exactly how it was. It was a beautiful
moment.
Mate,
I was threatened.
Mate, I was in tears after that.
You was?
Yeah.
The guy asked
Chris if he wanted to join his five-a-side team or come down the working men's club afterwards. He didn't really.
I was too busy,
mate. He wasn't that mad.
The reason why I was doing that...
what were you looking for, Chris?
I was looking for a cutting-in brush, bruv. Of
course you were, mate. Just look, I'm busy. I'm looking for a cutting-in brush.
You've been decorating your flat for fucking months.
I haven't. That's such a retarded...
Mondeo.
...exaggeration. And Mondeo. What he was doing, he was walking 3 feet, he was hovering over the ground, and he had a hard
time
spinning his keys.
That stride was like nothing I've ever seen before.
Because you was impressed.
Mondeo.
You were impressed because you had a fucking rose between your teeth.
I told you when I fucking...
Smith's playing in the background while you...
I had some daffodils. you have some breeze blocks?
That's really good.
I'm building a pizza oven.
That's his approach. I just thought it was an all. I thought it was in a hardware shop. I didn't think we were in some kind of fucking like some
what
movie.
What do you have, Chris Mondayo?
I genuinely didn't know what he wanted me to do. I wanted to go up and have a chat with the guy.
Not even a glance. His stride was not broken. It was a hell of a moment.
No, that wasn't even disrespect either. He asked me a question. I gave him an answer. Yeah. That bloke was not looking.
He asked me a question. I barked him an answer.
He didn't want to go out for a lunch.
Mondayo. Anyway, that's established that Chris drives a Mondeo. Stu, I've got a joke for each of you. They're gold.
Okay. Well, I'll
not
be a judge of that.
Yeah,
okay.
Don't tell
let's,
us.
Let's,
if they're
let's
fun
start
or not,
with.
Mate.
Let's start with you.
Right. That's Stuart. He's listening.
Why did the chicken cross the road?
To escape the chicken shagger.
To get to the other side?
No. Because he was going to visit a fucking cunt mug prick. You all right? You like that one?
Not bad.
All right.
It's pretty good. Pretty good.
Let's try Chris's one. Knock, knock.
Go fuck yourself.
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
It's the chicken.
The chicken. No, I'm not.
Hey, up
not?
Yours.
The first one was, why did the chicken cross the road to go and visit the cunt mug prick? And the second one was, knock, knock. Who's there? The chicken.
The chicken who?
So you're the cunt mug prick.
The chicken who?
I enjoy jokes. Anyway, let's continue on. What should we go into next? Would you like to hear... Oh, you don't know about my... I got hit by a ghost.
Hit by a ghost?
Hit by a ghost.
Okay, let's do that.
So, me and Chris had gone over to B&Q. This was a previous... A visit to B&Q.
You've been proper blokes, haven't you?
Yeah, proper blokey blokes.
No, can I just say, like, your pizza oven thing, right?
Yeah.
I'll come round Friday night to be the fucking token pensioner that fucking could look at virtual reality. And when I got round, you were boring the shit out about me, how fucking much you'd lifted this fucking one-ton pizza oven.
Mate, it was then, pretty intense.
And then literally, I was about to go to work.
Tons.
And you were like, right, should we go and we'll be having pizza? And I was like, oh, mate, wicked. And you... Literally got a menu out and ordered one, you fucking wankers. Spent all day installing a fucking pizza
well,
oven.
We hadn't got the stuff yet, had we?
I reckon
Jesus.
That pizza oven's going to be used 3 times.
Mate, it got intense. Like, genuinely, there was a point. So we've rented this frame, this huge frame that goes higher than the studio we're in now,
yep.
To put a winch on, to winch this thing up. It had all tipped and there was a point. I had 2 feet... on the edge of the pizza oven that was tipping, as I'm pulling the winch, it doesn't translate on a podcast. Let's continue on. Okay. So we've gone to B&Q.
Yeah,
and
okay.
Chris leaves.
All right.
I say, see you later.
See you later,
I'm
mate.
Saying, I'm going to go and see Tom over at the studio to borrow a camera. And I'm leaving. I'm driving out of the park. Park?
Right.
Car park.
Mondayo.
Same difference, mate.
Car park at Pips Hill.
Uh-huh.
A retail park.
Yeah.
And I'm in a queue to go out. Car goes into the back of me.
Cunt.
I'm like, for fuck's sake. I think, keep calm. I get out. I go to the car to see what mug's crashed into me. There's no one in the car.
No mug.
And I'm like...
So there's an empty car behind you.
Yeah. It's an empty car that's just crashed into the back of me. And I look around, I'm like, has someone done a runner? And there's no one. There's just an empty car.
What, was the engine still ticking over?
No. I couldn't really hear or anything, but I'm just like... And I look around, and then there's a guy comes over who was there. He's like, that was weird, wasn't it? And I was like, yeah. And we realise someone's parked and fucked off and left their handbrake off.
Right.
And this car has rolled, hit a curb, so it's then hit me. Because that was the weird thing, it hit me at an angle. It wasn't coming straight.
Right.
Hit me at an angle. Problem then was, number one, I don't know whose car it is. Number two, I couldn't just drive off, like take the details and drive off, because it would have hit other cars. So I then had to just sit there and wait for them to come back from their shopping to come and get their car that had just
How
hit
were
me.
They?
The poor girl was in such a panic. I was annoyed. I waited 40 minutes.
Stupid bitch.
She, I what genuinely...
Because girls I, can't drive, and that's going back to episode one, right?
Yeah. With misogyny and sexism. I genuinely put my arm around her at one point and gave her a hug. She was genuinely...
choked her out.
Whispered in her ear, I'll break your fucking legs.
And I realised I had the perfect triangle choke on her.
Put your fucking handbrake on. But no, it was the most confusing thing, to get out all angry and then go, there's no one in that.
Yeah,
in
that's
that
quite
car.
Odd, isn't it?
It's really fucking confused. And I rung you, like, laughing about it, because I was like, it's fucking weird, because you were just there.
Yeah.
But yeah, how strange. It's not, it's not a big story.
My initial thought was someone had done a runner. But the weird thing is, though, that you could get so upset about that, your car's just got, did you just drop one?
That's a big burp. Horrible burp.
But it's really horrible. Nice that you chilled out about it. Because
I was very relaxed because I was like, there's nothing you can do, man.
Honestly, I came out of that car park about 2 weeks before that. And I had made, personally, an error of judgment as I pulled out. And I hadn't quite clocked a car on my left coming through. It's a weird sort of exit.
It is. You have to come up a specific point to get back to the one-way system.
Completely my fault. Completely my fault. It wasn't a disaster. We're not talking, you know, 9/11 here. I just pulled out a little bit too soon. And this guy hit his brakes.
Mate?
He hit... I know, Dave. What was the driving?
Mondeo!
This geezer slammed on his brakes, which was overly unnecessary. There was no accident was going to be caused. But still, you'd want to maintain control of your vehicle. This geezer, while he was braking towards me, had his middle finger up, hanging out the window, going, "Fuck you!" And I was thinking, that's insane, man. Mm. If we were actually going to have an accident, why is your first reaction not
to stick
to
your middle finger, not
get
to react?
Control of your car, but
cool
to hang out the window.
Yeah,
the weird
cool.
thing is, too, that set me off.
Fucking Mondeo.
That set me off.
Yeah.
And I was like, I knew what
you just pranked my Mondeo.
He got out and he walked, no eye contact, took a turn.
with his keys in his hand.
Swinging his keys around his finger.
But like, I honestly, I started following him. And then I realised, don't be a psychopath.
I hate
it
stuff like that.
It was your fault.
Mate,
It was my fault. And he was so rude to me. But it upset me so bad that my default mode was, I know I've done wrong, but you've been so rude to me, I've got to have a conversation with you about it. And as I started following him, I realised he was 6'6". I was going to lose that fight. No, I realised that...
How silly it is.
It was silly. It was my error. And okay, he got angry, but...
I mean, it's the fact, all of us have done it as well. You're about to miss your turn on a motorway or whatever, and you take a fucking crazy swerve across to get off. It's fucking lunacy.
Yeah.
Just go to the next exit, mate.
Yeah.
It's not worth dying to save 5 minutes.
Louis C.K. jokes about that, doesn't
he?
Yeah.
I had a weird one when I was...
I don't get road rage at all.
I had a weird one.
Fuck you, you don't. That's bullshit.
There's one place I get road rage, and it's the A13 merging into the Blackwall Tunnel. And I was with a girlfriend.
Older people go up and cut in last minute.
I was with a girlfriend at the time, and I'm a very calm person, as you'll know. I don't particularly get mad about much stuff. And she genuinely got nervous because I almost rammed someone. Because it is, everyone just cuts in. Everyone just cuts in, and you know where you're going, and I almost rammed someone. It's the one place I get road rage. But as an angry little teen, I was driving my cheap car through the lanes from Limpford to Stamford.
Yeah.
So past the tip and that kind of thing. And I'm going along... And I'm driving at a reasonable speed, but I'm not going crazy. It's at night. And this van behind me keeps flashing me. Oh. And I'm like, fucking, what's this guy doing? He's flashing me, and I start sticking up my middle finger. I'm like, fuck off, you fucking prick.
You've got quite a long middle finger as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, I've never been a tough kid, particularly at 18. I might have been a listening to Rage Against the Machine, but...
Angry.
As soon as it's...
No, you were a blow over,
stop,
weren't you?
Yeah. So I'm like, fuck off. And then he starts to follow me. And I'm starting to think, fuck. And I drive through Stamford and he's following me. And he's right up on me. And I turn into to Balmoral Avenue, which is going to where my mum used to live. And as I turn right, he turns in the wrong lane and overtakes me and cuts in front of me. and blocks me off. And I'm like, shit, I'm going to die. I genuinely thought, I'm going to pull over because I don't want him to come to my house. Because my genuine thought was, if shit's going to kick off, I don't want my family to get in any trouble. As I've stated in the last one, I lived alone with my mum at the time. I was like, I don't want my mum getting any shit. If I'm going to get a beating, I'll take it on my own. And he cuts me out and he gets out and I'm like, fucking hell. And I'm like, all right. And he's like, hello, mate. And he's a bloke. He's not an 18-year-old. And he's like, I noticed you getting a bit angry and I wanted to just let you know that I've got a transistor in the back of my van. So every time I go over a bump, it pushes it down. So it raises my headlight. So it looks as if I'm flashing. But I wasn't. And I was like, All right, sorry. He's like, it was great. He chased me down just to explain that. And he was aggressive with it. But because he thought I was getting pissed off at him and swearing. And he was like, he chased me down to go, so that's what was happening there. I wasn't flashing. I was like, okay, well, thank you for explaining. And then he went on his way. But he proper fucking
Do you know what? I shit myself, mate. Yeah, yeah, but that takes
guts. That road rage of going, fuck you, and sticking my middle finger up. And then him going, don't do that, mate. If you weren't in a car, you wouldn't stick your middle finger up at a grown man as I'm an 18-year-old
kid.
Hell no.
And that also takes guts for someone to pursue you down and explain the situation calmly.
He explained it aggressively. It was still an intimidation thing. It was still a fuck you, this is what was going on.
He still didn't beat the piss out of you, though, did he?
Thankfully he didn't. You mentioned... you said the words, it's not 9/11. Another thing that we've had a lot of since this last drunk cast is a lot of terrorist shit.
It's been a dark few months.
And it's something that's occurred to me, and this is just, we don't have to stay on this for long if we don't want to, but I think it's quite interesting. We were doing drunk cast last year, and last year was a lot of talking about, fucking hell, I just want 2016 to end. All these celebrity deaths. All these older celebrity gentlemen. Fuck 2016. A worst year ever. And then we've come to 2017 and it's tragedy after a tragedy. And it just feels like a bit of a be careful what you wish for. Like, that seems ridiculous now. Some great artists died, but generally a bit older, and people die of natural causes. But we've had, as well as terrorist attacks, we've had the Tower...
Grenfell Tower.
We've had two attacks in London, one in Manchester. And what a crazy year it is for that shit, man. It seemed like an odd thing that last year, it seemed like that was the worst year ever. And now you look back and go, it was some older people died of natural causes. And that's sad, but it's all right.
It wasn't a game changer for me last year that we...
But it was a constant thing of, I can't wait for 2016 to end. I just want this out of the way.
Prince and stuff like that.
It was a general thing, wasn't it? Of a constant of, I can't wait for 2016 to end. I can't wait for next year.
I guess with social media and stuff like that, people were like,
I'd take 2016 in a heartbeat compared to the...
But yeah, we had a discussion, didn't we, me and you, about like what was going on, and we thought, look, we're not going to talk about it on Hardcore Listing, because our stance on it was, we didn't particularly want to be that political and
it's a top fives podcast,
exactly, and we are predominantly known for being a pair of pricks, so
totally can back that,
and so we said, look, if we can offer anything to the kind of current climate, and
it's not grammar,
I think it would be, let's just try and make someone laugh. And so we'll just leave it at that and not delve into it. So that was kind of, so that's why we haven't addressed it and the horror of it on
100% legit. I think when
the history books are written on 2017, they will say, silver lining, Hardcore Listening podcast was a laugh.
They were consistently stupid.
They will say Brett Goldstein, the living room gig, was way worse than all those motherfuckers.
But it's madness, isn't it? And it is just becoming a standard thing. And it's a weird one. Something that
And it was another thing. Yeah. It was another thing on Saturday that Pride made me think. In all this fucking awful shit that has happened in the last few months, that some people still have a fucking issue with some guy wanting to hold another guy's hand. Like, yeah, he's just fucking pathetic. Like,
yeah.
You know, surely we should be encouraging love and happiness and, completely, and peace of mind.
Yeah,
and,
but that...
Well, no, there are no buts.
No, there are buts. There are huge buts. They're
Pride.
Huge buts at Pride. But that's what we think.
Yeah.
And the problem is that we aren't engaging a lot of the time in conversations at the counter to it. And that's where we get into this thing that we start plastering people as evil. People aren't evil. This is a really good thing.
Some people are.
Well,
I'm not saying anyone's evil. Right, I'm just saying it's a lot better for people to love each other than to hate each other.
Yeah, I know, yeah. But that's a big...
Fuck you!
That's a macroscopic view, right? Because we all look on the planet and we go, oh, well, I want to be good. I want to be good and decent. Let's all be good and decent.
What's wrong with that?
When you start to focus in and start to close in on social, political views and experiences... Everything starts getting twisted way beyond the grand scale of thinking life is sweet and we should all be awesome.
No one thinks life is sweet, and but there is just a fundamental line of good and bad.
No, I think there is.
And well there is.
I'm playing devil's advocate, Stu. But all the people on the side you think are bad don't think they're bad. And what we do as human beings is quickly start to separate ourselves from the side we think are evil.
I think there's a balance on this. I think
a complete balance on that as well.
Shut your face, I'm giving my view. I think there's a balance on this, and I think at points at the moment, Chris, you're further on one side than I am, and potentially Stu, you're further on one side than I am. And this is just from discussions... we've had, and it's different views, but I think there is a selection of people who will have slightly right of centre views that are all right and they're fine, but they will be branded as racists or idiots or whatever else. It's why, with this guy recently, he was saying, why isn't there a heterosexual pride? It's why I engage with him, and I'm not always down for that. I'll put my hands up. I'm not that guy that's going to have arguments with everyone and win people over. There's a lot of people that selfishly, I'll just block. I've done a lot of that in the past, but I'm done with it now. There's a lot of people I just block. But this guy has been quite intelligent and quite reasonable. But equally, I think an overbelief in the left jumping to conclusions and over-demonising the right...
Absolutely.
..allows... But I think that assumption also allows some people who should be... I fucking demonised a bit too much leg room. And there's certain people who maybe started off on a good path and started off on good points and have drifted over further and further to the right. And people will go, people will think, no, they're all right because they've made some good points in the past, but then they've started to reveal their true colours a bit more. Mm-hmm. And I think it's such a grey area. And
yes,
I think you're
then,
more inclined. Because you're on the right, but you're more inclined to give a lot of time to the right to then question it and justify. Do you know what I mean? Not to say they're correct, but to say, well, let's look at this and break it down and try and find out. I think I will check out earlier than you will, if that makes sense. In the research and seeing if someone is all right, you'll go a bit further, whereas I'll get to a point and go, no, they're a fucking idiot, or they're a racist, or they're this, or they're that.
I think it could just be from my
heightened experience with them, not heightened intelligence or anything like that, but my heightened experience with them. In that, because of my social media following, I've had a long time of interacting with those people and getting people who seem reasonable and then turn out to be wrong or whatever else. So I think my patience is shortened on that. So whilst I completely think we shouldn't demonise too quickly, we shouldn't say everyone that voted Brexit is a racist or dumb shit like that. I think it's those jumps that
also,
cause the problems.
I think we shouldn't use, which is a huge source for you, is social media as a litmus test, mate. because not everyone does. I think you'll,
again, it's what I like. Again, I had someone the other day say, "I'm disappointed in you. I thought you would speak more publicly on social issues," and I replied saying, "I speak on social issues these days. Previously, I'd jump in on everything. Here's my opinion. Here's my view. Here's my view. I'm political. I'm social."
Yeah.
Whereas now, I replied to them saying, "I speak when I feel I can add something." Or that's it. Like, when I feel I can add something. I don't want to just shout into an echo chamber or show, "Aren't I a good guy for thinking this way or that way?" With a lot of the terror attacks, which is what we started on here, I didn't pass any comment. I wrote a long Facebook thing about
you like blowing people up.
Yeah, I think it's wicked, man. Have a look at my look. That's my people. I wrote a long a Facebook post after the Manchester attack. Just saying, undoubtedly and unequivocally, it's a fucking horrific tragedy with no positives, but the one small silver lining I can find is in my life, some of my absolute highlights and most ecstatic moments, when I don't even feel like me anymore, I feel like I'm on another level, is when I've just watched a band that I adore, that I love, that I've just watched the artist that I've listened to for months, for years, just perform in front of me and sung it with thousands of other people. I've been in that moment, and the tiny silver lining I could find was that'd be a decent emotion to go out on. Mm. If I was to go out, that's a decent emotion to go out on, in that ecstasy, in that moment of not even feeling fucking human anymore. I've just witnessed this amazing thing. So it's no silver lining. And I wrote all that, and then I thought, who does this help? Other than making me look like a nice poetic guy and making me look deep and thoughtful and all this, who does this help?
Who does it help?
It's why I didn't post it.
Right, exactly.
It's why I never post that, because I was like, right, this is the typical thing of social media, of going, and again, I think 99% of the time it's with good intent and good meaning, but it's such a common thing, particularly if you've got any kind of audience, to go, how can I comment on this? What can I give to these people? And the fact is, the people who need help in that point aren't on fucking social media, as Anthony Jeselnik says, exactly, as we're a fan of. They aren't on social media. All you're doing is showing off. And again, this isn't, I need to clarify, this isn't hating on anyone that's put heartfelt messages. If you need to express it in that way, that's fine. But for me, the feeling was, all you're doing is showing off to other people who weren't in the situation. I mean, if you've been in that situation in Manchester, you're dealing with shit, you're not on social media going, "Oh, what does Scroobius Pip think?" You're going, "Where's my child? Or where's my friend? And where's this and where's that?" And it's why I said I wrote all that, because I was genuinely taken by that emotion and felt that. But then I was like, this doesn't add anything. This doesn't add anything to that discussion other than, look how deep Scroobius Pip thinks. What a good guy he is for thinking that. Do you know what I mean? I felt no one in that, who actually affected by it, is going to read that, you know.
I think that if I didn't particularly add anything to it.
You didn't give a shit, did you? I remember you saying.
I remember when you were laughing. You set up a WhatsApp group going,
Chris,
odds on.
He didn't. Just to clarify, he didn't.
Odds on how many people died. You look at me like you hate me there.
Right, so I have no issue with people that want to go on social media and go, what's just happened is awful. Mm. And I'm not suggesting it is going to benefit anybody, and I don't necessarily think it is always...
Or that was what hit me, though. Just but touching some, on both
hold
these
on,
things.
I want to hear what she's got to say.
But some people... Some people might not be quite as open emotionally as other people. Mm-hmm. And some people might just think, do you know what? This is the first time that I've felt inclined to comment on something,
mm-hmm.
you know, that is affecting other people that might be feeling like that. And I might just want to talk to someone else about that. And maybe someone might comment and go, it's really upset me. And it's really upset me too. And to be upset by that doesn't necessarily mean that you had to have someone involved in that tragedy.
Yeah, completely.
You can empathy see what's happened.
That's a really, and you can good
be
comment,
and you can
mate.
Be fucking cut up. You watch it, and and you think, fucking hell, that's like, that's horrendous. Like, I think, a year ago, my daughter went and watched Ariana Grande up at the O2, and I think, God, you know, that could happen, I think everyone's got kids that go to concerts and kids, and you just think, and it does make you just think, and if you want to get it out, to just go on social media and go, I can't believe what I've just seen.
I think the odd thing is going to sound strange coming from someone who's built their career on social media, but if it confuses me and confounds me, the reliance on social media and the norm of social media. So on all of these, like the person who was saying, I can't believe that you've not commented on these tragic events. All of them, I have. But
excuse me. But
to my friends, I've sent messages to my mates in Manchester saying, are you all right? And in London, when the London attacks were on, it's like, is everyone okay? And I've spoken privately. It hasn't had to be a, here's my statement as Scrooge McPip or whatever.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So it's that weirdness. I guess it's something that's alien to me. And I've this has confused people in the past. It's going to sound odd to relate it, but I've always had social media as a separate thing from, I don't know, not feeling I like the real world as such. It's a public a public display. If I've got something I want to tell the people, I will. It's rare that you and me, this is an example, it's rare that you and me, Stu, talk on social media.
No, never.
We text each other because we know each other.
Yeah.
And I've had friends that... Jesus.
Oh, shut up.
It's fucking hell. You just don't give a shit about tragedies.
No, but I agree.
It's weird. I've had mates in as recent as in the last month who have felt that I'm ashamed of our friendship or hiding our friendship because I don't leave comments on their page. But in general, that doesn't cross my mind. If I want to talk to Chris, I text Chris.
Yeah.
I don't put a comment on his... Unless I'm cutting you guys off.
He doesn't text me. On
Hardcore Listen or yours, if you've posted something wrong, I'll mug you off in the comments.
Yes.
Other than that, if it's anything genuine, I'll sling you a text and say, oh, you might want to change that. You might want to do it privately rather than needing to be a public
but
display.
But to go back to what, you know, my thing is, I just think even if sometimes some people might not have friends that they can do that to. Some people might not.
I guess that's a great point.
Someone might engage with me.
And it's reaching for that interaction.
Yeah, because, you know, sometimes you see things like that and not... It is, you know, if it can affect people in different ways, and if you don't know how to deal with that emotion, and you know, you're seeing something that is fucking awful. Like, if you can get anyone, like if you feel like you need some compassion, even like I say, not that if you've been directly affected by it, you still see and feel the suffering that, you know, in whatever level that the people that are directly affected by it, you know, he's going through. You can't help but see that and not think, fucking hell, like you're a human being. And to get back to whatever views you have on the atrocities that happened, and my point on good and bad, you can't, if you take someone's life, you are bad.
Let me finish.
And I don't necessarily mean that as a terrorist, but I also mean that translates to the other side of the spectrum, which is the government doing whatever they're doing as whatever terror they're doing.
Yeah, I think what people don't look at comfortably is why is it so easy to radicalise people against us?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
It's because of some of the horrific shit we do.
Exactly, exactly.
The guy, I think, who did the Manchester one was related to someone in Syria who we've done some fucked up shit.
Bad
in
stuff, because there's good and bad. And I've always kind of lived like that. I think it's that black and white.
I think what me and Chris agree on, and I know because we've discussed this, is an empathy towards the good and the bad. Now, my belief is that I don't agree with this belief that humans by nature are good. I think they can be good, but I think there's this weird belief of human nature, we're all good people, except for these evil people.
I personally think that's a vernacular of what we've decided to decide.
No idea
what
why
is good
no,
or bad.
No idea why you're shouting. That's what I was going to say as well. No idea why you're shouting.
But the truth is, that's how we decide what is good and bad right now.
Oh, that's it. What me and Chris have discussed in the past is I think everyone has the potential inside them, all three of us here, to do horrifically bad things. Also, to do unimaginably beautiful and good things. And I think it's something that we nurture and we work at. We work at as humans to be good. So I don't think it's that human nature thing. The example I always give is there's two children, young children, and one takes the other one's toys. Their natural reaction is to lash out and punch them. That's human nature. That's aggressive. That's violent. But we spend our lives educating that out of our children and turning them into good people and positive people. But it's why I can be angered by a horrific act, but I can also feel some kind of understanding on that can happen, man.
Why do you think that's a good act?
What good
act? To teach that out of children.
What? To not
retaliate and not be
I think our belief of good and bad is rooted in coming up from a country based on Christianity and Catholicism. I think Gervais's argument. I've mentioned this a few times. Gervais will always say, "I'm not religious because I don't need a book to tell me to be good or bad."
Yeah,
and
give you a moral compass.
I get that, but he's grown up in a country whose moral compass was set by religion. In the early days, again, it's my belief that religion was as I've say in Letter from God to Man, a way for the weak to control the strong. Because there was a point where just the biggest, nastiest people could kill the weakest people and they're in charge. And religion, I feel, was brought in to balance that out. Like, here's good and here's bad. Here's, you'll go to hell if you're bad. So it's bringing that moral compass in.
But do you believe in heaven and hell?
No.
Right, so do you believe in right and wrong? So what's right?
Being good.
Do you believe in science?
Yeah, I believe in science.
So you believe in science. Does science ever talk about right and wrong?
No, not particularly.
Well, so why do you believe in right and wrong? But you believe in science?
Because of the society in which we've been.
You see, that's a weird contradiction for me. Because we believe in right and wrong. Hold on, let me talk. Right, it's that right and wrong are these social constructs that we have. Like, there's many things that we don't see. You see, last night,
it's science, isn't it?
Hang tight. I was driving home.
Hang on, someone. He's
wrong.
Physical science.
Why is it wrong?
Because it's pain.
Why is that wrong?
Because it's not a sensation, is it?
It's a definite, very, very physical sensation.
It's not positive.
It's not good. It's not good.
Well, that's my point.
Okay, right. So let's then assume that pain is good. Let's go. Let's stop making pain good. Let's stop making pain negative. Let's make pain good. And then what is good? If pain is good, if pain, when you do something wrong, is pleasurable, what is when you do something right? What is the answer to that?
Explain but pain
that
isn't
to me.
Good.
That's no, but then you're losing the concept, aren't you, of good and bad?
No, only in terminology or language.
No.
Ones
and zeros in maths.
When you take a baby out and you smack it to make it cry, it's not enjoying that. It's feeling pain is negative. It's
No. Put it back on my comparison. Build a straw man about it.
No, I'm just saying pain naturally, instinctively, isn't good. It's
why is it not good? But why is that? Why have we
science?
Right, great, right. But why? Why science? Why is pain bad?
If you kick a dog who's outside of our social structures, it cowers. It's not good. It doesn't go. That was all right.
Right.
I've not been built.
But
to pain is negative.
Do you think that it's not always like you can't live life in positive, guys? You can't always do things and be rewarded by them. That's insanity. That isn't life.
I'm not saying it's that stark. What I'm just saying is
it's not stark.
There's extremes, isn't there? And I'm not suggesting that everybody just goes around enhancing everybody's lives with ridiculousness every day. But I also don't think that people should go around murdering people.
But you have to understand there's limitations. Murdering is the worst thing ever, right?
Yeah.
Murder and rape, totally terrible. Why we can't? We ain't going to sit here and argue about that.
Well, we are.
No, we're not. What I'm arguing is that you can't have black without white.
I'm not saying you can't.
Well, you are.
I'm just saying that
because
I've lost where we are now.
Are you not? Because as soon as you start to try to put a barrier on what is good and bad, you've lost the plot.
Well, my only barrier was taking someone else's life is bad.
No, it's obviously it's bad in this societal construct, but it's something that happens that we currently think is bad. It doesn't mean to say that I'm running around murdering people. What I'm saying is that we have.
I get that you're.
And now I'm drunk. I've lost the own thread of what I thought.
I don't know. I think inflicting pain is unequivocally bad. Again, that's not to say it's the epitome of bad. Or murder even is unequivocally bad. That's not to say it's the epitome of bad. There are situations in history where it has been deemed that this amount of murders or this amount of death in a war is outweighed by the greater good and so on and so forth. So I can understand that, but I can't understand an argument that pain isn't a negative thing. For me, it's not. It's bad. Like regardless of our social construct,
just because of animals, or whatever else. What are we defining pain as then? Are you defining pain as something that is a lesson or something that's a negative thing that exists? Because pain, in terms of receptors, is a lesson to learn. Right. Let's not talk about emotional pain. Let's talk about physical pain.
Just on physical pain. Emotional pain, again, I'm on the side of emotions. It's a variation.
If I go near a fire and my arm burns, right, because of the scientific things that carbon is burning carbon and I'm going to break apart, pain's a terrible thing.
Right, so you do that and you know that that is pain.
Right.
So surely to then, you're aware that that felt unpleasant and bad, yeah?
And not because of society.
Right, no, who's on the climax of a revelation
and
here?
And not because of any social constraint.
No, ignore that.
You perceive it.
Ignore
Big Brother. So what gives you the right to then push someone else into that fire?
No, that's not my argument.
Well, that's my argument.
Right, okay, so maybe we're talking about different things, I don't know what anyone's argument is. My argument is pain is a good thing in the sense it tells you not to do something. It's not a thing
that's
to tell.
That's exactly what Pip said.
That's right. But, well, okay, maybe I misheard something.
If you whack a dog, it cowers. And it knows, and it feels like it's done.
Right, no, that's sadism and masochism. Sadism, that is. I'm not talking about sadism, Stu. I'm not talking about hitting a dog. I'm talking about pain receptors. I'm saying that pain isn't a bad thing because it tells people to avoid certain behaviours. I'm not talking about hitting a dog. What you guys are talking about is sadism. Sadism is about inflicting pain on others, often to gain some kind of physical or emotional benefit. I'm not talking about that.
I'm talking about
there's benefits of pain. Benefits of pain are biological responses to things that are going to end your life. I'm not saying that pain feels good. I'm not saying you should put your hand into a crocodile's mouth. I'm not saying that pain feels good. I'm saying that pain is absolutely...
Yeah, you're not saying that pain feels good twice.
But you must understand the point I'm making.
No, I get it. I think we've got really confusing and cross wires because I don't know what.
Piss, and then can we do my duck
wait
story?
Wait a second, wait before you go, because we're close to the hour mark.
Am I wrong in saying what I'm saying?
I don't know that you're wrong that what in what you're saying, but I don't know why you're saying it in relation to what we're saying. I think it's acceptable to believe that pain can be used as a way we learn evolutionary.
That's what I'm saying.
As humans. I'm agreeing with that. Again, that I think children, sometimes it's better for them to touch the flame and learn from the pain rather than say, don't touch that flame, it's bad. Because you've not had that physical learning. I get that. Point. I just don't know where that point came from in relation to terrorism. I agree on that. I think we're all agreed. We're just on completely different pages because we're drunk. Let's end this part.
Are we doing another one?
Yeah, we're doing another one. Are you tight on time?
It's midnight.
Is it midnight?
Yeah.
Fucking hell, it is midnight. Well, I mean, we've got a lot to discuss still, but I guess we need to wrap things up.
Oi,
what do you want to do?
Here's an idea.
I want to hear this.
Pull a sickie. Oi, but, here's the best thing. Me and Pip make it up.
Brilliant.
Come on, man.
I'm stuck in Pip's loft.
So are we saying that it has to end on this one?
Well, we can do the last bit tomorrow.
Well, fuck you, man. I ain't doing it tomorrow.
You run to the toilet. I will keep talking for a minute, and then we'll wrap up on this episode.
Okay.
We might do another 20 minutes or so.
All right, cool.
And then we'll call it a day.
What, that's it?
Yeah, that's it. It needs to get to work. Let's have a quick check of the social media. That's a question. The first question I've come to on Facebook is specifically for Stu. Right, for all of us, if you had to live in another country, English speaking nations not allowed, which one and who would accompany you? And why?
That's amazing.
It's very specific.
Yeah, but I like that.
Yeah. Go on, what country?
Yeah, okay, so I would go to anywhere that was predominantly above or below the equator.
That's a good time for you to come back in. Do you know what we're discussing?
Yes,
Did you hear that? You heard as you pissed up the side of my studio, peering through the open window.
I would say New Zealand, but then obviously they speak English.
They do speak English.
Those bastards.
So maybe Japan or somewhere like that? China?
Yeah, but that's so much a cultural, intellectual thing. I'd like
exciting, one that, though, right?
Yeah,
to go to that kind of change.
Mate, I'd love one.
You'd want to go
and
for
I
that.
Would love us to do a... anything that involved us being put out of our environment,
mm-hmm.
whether it was on an island or somewhere like Tokyo, I'd love to do that.
Nice. Stu, where would you want to live non-English speaking? A little burp again. Sorry. Apologies, we've been drinking.
Iceland.
Okay, good chat.
Why, mate?
Because... It's beautiful and interesting, and the architecture's bizarre.
Yeah, but what happens if you're stuck out in the open? How would you deal with that?
I could think of nothing better. As we've spoke about, I come very close to getting on the island. I could think of nothing better than being stranded in the middle of nowhere.
Would you enjoy being eaten by wolves?
Probably not. I imagine it would be quite... painful.
But does society tell you that's painful?
But would you be prepared to take that as a fatality for the trade-off of being put out in that in situation?
Well, I don't think...
It's a cool way to go, right?
Yeah.
Eaten by wolves in Iceland rather than beaten to death in graves for being a
bummer. I think if Stu didn't have kids, he'd have my mentality. That's how I want to die. But I don't think you want to die like that anymore.
Well, I don't really want to die. Like,
but you're gonna, right?
But you just said what country would I like to live in. What country would I want to die in?
It's the exact opposite of the question.
I just want to go to Iceland.
What country, non-English speaking, would you like to die in? That's the vaguest and fanciest threat ever. This guy's a psychopath. Where do you want me to kill you, you prick?
Mexico.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay, nice. I'd
drive across Mexico and get shot on the border.
1 week. Plane tickets in your house in the whiffin.
Is that how you want to die? We've got how a about lot... you, Pip?
I don't know how I want to die. I definitely don't want to live forever, if that helps and counts.
No,
I don't believe...
You totally ain't
it does me in the kind of our obsession with extending our lives. It sounds exhausting. We've got a lot of stuff to get through. I'm going to delete chatting with Samuel L. Jackson on the C2C train from Stamford to Fenchurch Street. He just gave me a ring. I was doing a charity event. I got an email out of the blue from him, which was mental. And then he gave me a ring on the train, and I'm sitting there, just going, all right, Samuel L. Jackson.
Yeah. No way.
It's pretty mental.
I don't think we should delete that.
It's pretty mental. There's not a big story there. He hit me up about a charity event that was, it's called A One for the Boys. Interestingly, and I won't go crazy into this, but you talked on today's Hardcore Listing about a female vocalists.
Yes.
And amazing voices. And this won't make your list, which is fine, but at that event, I did a poem at the start I'd written specifically for the charity, in which I compared cancer to an elephant's dick.
Okay.
Awkward. Tough room. Leona Lewis performed. She's known for her voice. It was all right. Pixie Lott performed. It was all right. Paloma Faith performed. And I know Paloma's a mate of mine, and I've known her ages, but performing any gig in a room full of, not to keep going back to it, but rich white men is a shit gig. It's not enjoyable. Uh-huh. Paloma strolled out, and honestly, I've seen her live before, but seeing her in that context... She seemed like a fucking superstar. Her voice, again, it's not somewhere that's got an amazing system. Her voice seemed fucking next level. It's the first gig she's done since having a child. Just strolled out, was a superstar for three songs, and fucked off. And that was cool. And then Eve performed.
Bam, 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 bam.
She played I'll Blow Your Mind. It was amazing. And I can't think who I messaged at the time, saying, this is amazing. It's Eve. She's a legend.
Mm.
My first choice for seeing Eve live isn't in a room full of a millionaire white people at a charity event, but it was dope, and she's still gutter as fuck. But yeah, it was an interesting night. That's a phone call on the way there from Samuel. Let's skip the Ben and Jerry's visit. I've got a load of nonsense there. That's not interesting. Fuck Papa John's. I don't like Papa John's at the moment. I'm in a war with them. We've been going back and forth for a while.
Who's upset you now, Alan?
Well, Papa John's.
I need to have a wee, but I really want to hear about the Papa John's shit.
We're not going to go into it, but you can't have a wee, because what we're going to do... We spoke earlier...
Is have a wee.
We spoke earlier of the dark summer photo shoot. On the way home from that, we turned the music off, even though it was a two-hour journey, and we had two people in the car, Meg Biffin and the wonderful Chilli Ray McCormack.
Yeah.
And the entertainment for the whole journey was Chris trying to guess who I'm thinking of. For a whole two-hour journey. I'll and drunk cast, ladies and gentlemen, you were going to get to witness this firsthand. He can ask me questions.
Yeah.
I'm going to think of someone, and then you're going to think of someone.
I'll tell you what, though. I need to take a squirt.
Why are you such a pair of cunts on long journeys?
It entertained us for hours.
Worse.
Do you know what, Stu? During the war, that's what got them through, man. But I need to take a wee.
Go and have a wee,
right,
and we'll have a little think of who we're going to pick. Because right, you've got to pick someone, and I've got to pick
someone. Because I'm going to smash the fucking shit.
Can you hurry up? Because I really need a wee, and I'm dedicated enough to stay until the end of the podcast. Stu.
Yes.
I've got three things here. You've flown recently.
Yes, I have.
Did you put your seat back?
Really weird you say that. On the way out there, I sat on a seat and it reclined automatically. Weird. And I kept sitting up and thinking, and it was a broken seat.
Right.
And so when the person sat behind me, and I just literally put any weight on the seat, it went backwards, and I literally turned around and went, I'm really sorry, my seat's broken.
Because you're a good person.
Because I would never recline my seat on someone.
It's my belief that seats on planes should not recline. I think it's the rudest shit in the world. You're removing someone's leg, and I know I'm a 6'4" guy, so it's
an issue for us.
But you're removing someone's leg space to change the angle at which you're leaning.
Yeah.
Your angle isn't... The angle of your leaning isn't anywhere near as intrusive as your leg space.
Completely.
On a journey. And I think they should do away with them. And I mentioned this online
the other day. You really know what we're talking about.
I mentioned this online the other day, and one person piped up against it. There's Chris peeping through the window as he got his cock in his hand, pissing away like a champ. I mentioned it, and one person said, mate, stop looking at him.
Stupid face.
I love you guys.
I love you guys, but I don't believe in pain.
I'm pissing up your studio.
I had one person say, mate, but I just can't sleep upright. I was like, yeah, but how rude is it to think that, because I can't sleep upright, I need to deprive someone else.
It's such a
weird thing in society that that's acceptable. Yeah. That you can go, my slight discomfort means I have to put you at a greater discomfort to improve my... I think it's a fucked up. I think it's a horrendous thing. I now need a wee.
Right.
So you guys can talk for a little bit. And then we're going to play... Essentially, it's 20 questions.
Okay.
But there's no limit, because sometimes it takes Chris a lot more than 20 questions, despite the fact he thinks he's fantastic at it. That's part of the humour. Is his belief at how good he is at it.
Have you drunk a bottle of gin in the car?
No, he hadn't. This is going to be gold. Strap yourself in, mate.
Right, okay.
Have a little chat.
Ooh, right. Hello. That was rude.
You're drunk?
I'm really drunk. I am totally shit-faced.
How much of that gin you drunk?
Pretty much 97%. I'm 97% ready for a chat.
I haven't seen Fun Chris for a while.
Oh, because I was thirsty. Come on, right? 20 questions. What are we doing? 20 questions.
Right, you want to start? I've got to think of something.
I can't even remember the game now. I invented it. Everyone thought it was amazing. And now I can't remember it.
Right, I thought of someone. 20 questions.
So if I got to ask a question, I can't even remember my own game.
Well, yeah.
So, my question is, and I presume...
As the host of the Distraction Pieces podcast, I need to interrupt and say, you didn't invent 20 questions, Chris.
Right, so I can only answer yes or no, yeah?
Where this gets fucked up. You can answer however you like, really.
Right,
so
okay.
basically...
Oh, you've remembered the rules
No, I haven't.
This was genuinely so entertaining for... all of us.
Yeah.
For Chilli and Megan and me.
Okay, so start. Let's get this rolling. Right, that's who I'm thinking of, yeah?
Yep, got it.
Uh-huh.
Right, okay. Mm-hmm. Now, why are you agreeing? You haven't fucking seen it, you dickhead. You've got to guess it.
Mm-hmm.
I tell you what, you...
No, start asking the questions.
Stop calling me
start
a dickhead.
Asking questions, mate.
Okay, question number one. Are you going to behave yourself?
Fucking hell.
Because I will light you up.
Go. Start questions and guessing.
Can I have a cookie?
Yes, you can. When you get
I want a half of that cookie now.
Fucking hell. I'm eating a cookie for those No, not yet. Because you're ambitious to think that he's going to get it in that time.
No, stop being rude.
Ask the questions, you utter wanker.
Are they a musician?
No.
That's a lie. You wrote down.
Oh, no. No, yes. Yes.
It is a lie. He knew. I told you he's good at this.
Right. Come on.
You wrote down Morrissey, you prick. So that's 1-0. Right, next game.
He didn't write down Morrissey.
He didn't write down Morrissey. Are you sure he didn't write down Morrissey?
No.
I'm going to fucking kill you. At some point, if you write down Morrissey and I find out you write down Morrissey...
Can we screenshot the text text from a week ago where Chris says, I'm not going to be able to get drunk on this podcast but, because I've just finished a fast.
You and your boys.
Okay. No, go. Come on, let's get focused.
Question number one. Question number two, just number one. Are they a musician?
They had a moment where this person released maybe two singles. One went to number one.
That was a boring answer. If ever.
Oh, I need to call it again.
It's not time yet. Go on.
No, it is.
More questions.
I don't even care. Okay, right. So they had one or two singles. is this a person?
Yes.
Is this Oh man. Is that a person?
It is.
Okay. It's a person who's released more than two singles. Are they male? Is it a female?
No.
Why? Is it someone? Is it from the indie world?
No.
I'm fucked here.
In so many ways.
Podcast gold.
This is also a theme of the drive. His incredibly long pauses between each question.
Yeah. Are they known for their guitar music?
No.
Are they soul singers?
No.
Are they... They're female.
No.
They're male. We've established that.
Can I double check?
And just bear in mind that originally when you asked if they were a musician, he said no. And then he remembered they did have a song, so they might not primarily be a musician.
Are they primarily a musician?
No.
Oh, God's sake. Are they an actress?
Fuck's sake.
No. Yes or no, Stu?
No! They're not a woman!
Are they, mate?
When I get up tomorrow morning...
Shut up, just get this
I'm
done.
I'm ringing you up, Chris. Stu, I'm going to make your life a misery tomorrow.
Stu, answer the question.
He's staying at mine tonight.
Stu, answer the question, have they got a ding-a-ling?
Yes.
Okay, so, breakthrough. We're talking about a dude. There's no guarantee I'm going to remember that. So we're talking about a guy who might have been in the music or film industry.
Not particularly. Oh,
God.
Okay, cool. We're warming right up. They are a runner. Quick question. Are they a sports person?
Yes.
Oh, my God. Oh, are they a sports personality of the 80s?
Yes.
Are they a pugilist?
No.
Do you know what pugilist means?
Yes.
So they're not.
If this was 20 questions and he wasted a question on do you know what pugilist means, that'd be the cockiest thing ever.
So. You're certain that you
know. Wasted questions just mug you off. Do you even understand me?
Oh.
Right, jokes aside.
They're not aside. I'm going to guess they're not aside.
My question is...
Are you certain they're not a pugilist, is what he's going to say. It's Chris, this is established, it's going to be a repeat. Go. Next question.
He's right. Are you certain they're not a pugilist?
Oh, God.
I love you, man.
They're not.
Right, okay. So they're not a pugilist.
No.
80s.
Early
80s. Runners. No. Are they multi-talented? Are they known for more than one discipline?
No.
And they're a sports star?
Yes.
Is it Fatima Widbrett?
That was just noises. That wasn't a name. That was just noises. Is it Fatima Widbrett?
No.
Is it Fatima Fade Out on the surname?
I tell you what, it totally was. Okay, right.
What's your address?
Time you got a watch.
Okay, right.
I'm not going to say my address on the podcast. Yeah.
Sorry, I keep forgetting that we're still recording this fucking shit.
Keep going, Chris. You got this. You're so close. I can sense it.
It's not Fatima Whitbread.
All right.
We said
calm
it
down.
A woman about 25 minutes
calm
ago.
Down. She isn't a woman. She's a very... Well, she is.
Oh.
Right. We are talking about a fucking female sports star from the 80s.
Male.
Aren't we talking... Are they... And we said pugilist, and Stu said no, didn't he?
Oh, God.
He said no.
Not a boxer, Stu. Are they
a boxer?
It's
not a boxer.
So you're certain they don't punch people, do they, for a living, mate, or nothing like that?
No.
All right, okay. All right.
Think of other sports, mate. Think of other sports.
And they don't run really quickly, do they?
They do within their sport, but that's not the main motion of their sport.
Have they ever been done for raping and murdering their missus?
I've got to ring a cab.
Not that I know of. I think I'm taking over on this one.
Can you show me your address, please?
You go outside and ring that. I don't want people actually knowing where I live.
So he's not talking about O.J. Simpson, is it?
No, no. Keep going. More questions. Nationality?
What nationality are they, mate?
It's meant to be yes or no answers, but I'll give you British.
Is it Lenny Henry?
A sports person, mate.
That other one.
Not answering that, a risk of racism. Stu's literally left the room in disgust at this drunken nonsense.
Correct.
Next. Come on.
Okay, alright.
Come on.
Alright, chill out.
Come on.
Why don't you take a chill pill, Lil?
I've got plenty.
Okay.
Go. Come on.
Are they well known?
Yes.
For ice hockey?
Nope. Ice hockey. Hello, mate.
Hello.
Oh, mate, take a seat.
10 minutes.
Oh, there's a time on this all of a sudden.
Right. But has he got? Of course, he hasn't got any fucking clothes.
No, we've established they're not known for ice hockey.
Ah, one of the most popular sports.
All the ice hockey celebrities. And also that they're not O.J. Simpson.
Not O.J.
Alright, are they... are they marathon runners?
No!
He's fallen off his seat. He's literally fallen off his ergonomic seat. That's
relax.
Good for your
I'm
posture.
I'm back.
Oh.
Are they, Stu?
No!
Calm down.
God.
Give me a quick clue, mate. Give me a quick clue.
Are any of them marathon runners?
Oh. A team sport.
No, give me a real clue.
A team sport. A very popular team sport. Probably.
Football.
From
the 80s.
Ice hockey again.
80s football.
Yep.
I've got no idea. Did they cry a lot? Did they cry a lot?
Yes.
Oh. Mmm. Cash going.
Yeah.
Cash really?
Johnny Depp.
Yeah! Oh, you haters didn't think I'd get there.
That took a very abrupt turn, if I'm honest. It didn't feel like he was going to get there. Did they cry, Gascoigne? What? Jesus, that was quick.
So then, here's my one. I can think of a sports personality.
Okie doke. Are they a sports personality?
Probably not, but anyway, let's start.
Male?
O.J. Simpson.
No.
Are they male?
No.
Are they English?
They were, but I'm changing this their gender quickly. Give me a minute.
Why you change the gender of your person?
Hold on.
Let's get back to the gold, the original. We're going to round the podcast up. Stu may leave halfway through. I'm thinking of a person.
No.
I'm thinking of a person.
Chris Glasson.
It's not Chris Glasson.
Jane Glasson.
It's Jane Glasson. No, it's not. It's Bill. It's Bill.
Oh, God, no one cares about that.
A reference in the names of Chris's parents is the most obscure joke in the world. We're going to end it. Even if Stu leaves, I was genuinely considering doing a part four with just me and you drunk, but I think it would be a mess. We're ending it on me thinking of a person. Go, Chris.
You're thinking of a fucking person.
I am.
Are they male or female?
Male.
Are they an artist?
I mean, that's broad.
Right, so no then.
It's broad. What? Let me ask you a question.
Are they a musician?
No.
Are they an actor?
Yes. They're an actor.
Yes.
Are they an actor that everyone knows?
Again, broad, people know them.
Are they predominantly famous for films?
Yes.
Okay, are they British?
Are they English?
No.
Are they French?
No.
Are they Macedonian?
No, that's a weird joke.
Well, I'm out of fucking guesses.
O.J. Simpson.
They're an actor?
No, they're an actor, yeah.
That isn't predominantly known, and they're not French.
Why?
Brilliant.
Park Chan-wook.
They are definitely predominantly known. They're known.
And they're...
Are they Eastern?
Are they American?
Eastern cinema.
Yes, right. Stu, you're saving me. They're American.
Tom Hanks.
What do you mean saving me? Jesus fucking Christ. Don't say Tom Hanks. If it's Tom Hanks, I'm going to burn your whole house down.
Tom who?
Thankfully, it's not Tom Hanks.
Right, because I'll burn your fucking house down as well.
What? Go. Next question.
They're American.
They're American.
Is it from a... Are you thinking of them? Their main movie?
Flubber.
Is it... Is it Dazed and Confused?
No. Very specific.
Then fuck you, then.
Again, very...
Then you have no idea.
Impossibly specific.
Is it...
Who could that be?
Matthew McConaughey.
Right, that's not his main movie, but no, it's not. They weren't in Dazed and Confused.
Well, then you're thinking wrong.
It's not how the game works. Sit down, Stu. Go.
Right, they're American.
Yeah.
Okay, are we talking 80s or 90s or the millennium?
We are talking all three.
Robert De Niro.
No.
Are we talking...
Al Pacino.
No.
Science fiction.
Names. Have been.
Are we talking... Also, sometimes espionage movies.
Ah, it's Tom Cruise.
Is it Tom Cruise?
It's not Tom Cruise.
Is it Tom Cruise because two of us want to beat you up?
Still not Tom Cruise.
Oh, fuck a duck.
Harrison Ford.
It's not Harrison Ford. Don't just guess
Harrison
names.
Ford.
Don't just guess.
Is
American
it Mark
actors.
Hamill?
No.
Is it the geezer who was in all those good ones?
Yes. Got it. Thank you for tuning in. Keep going.
Han Solo.
No, it's not Harrison Ford.
Is it that level or less?
It's that level at least.
At least Marlon Brando.
Why was that the next guess? It's not Marlon Brando.
Boxing films?
Not known. I don't know.
Robert De Niro, then.
No, he's guessed that, and it was a no.
Oh, my cab's here. I'm going to look forward to please do another episode.
You'll get to find the result of this.
Well, it's true. I'll get this tied up, mate. I love you, mate. Don't you worry about it.
I'll give you a call, Chris, in about 6 hours, mate.
I'll tell you what, mate. I'll call you.
call you a cunt. Come on.
All right. Okay, so it's not... De Niro.
Not De Niro, mate.
Is it?
We should never do a drunk cast when you're staying at mine, because this means we could just do 5 episodes.
Is it Al Pacino?
It's not, no. He gets both of them, mate.
I don't give a fuck. And also, don't call me mate.
Still not.
Doesn't
Still
add not, any mate. Value to our conversation.
Still not, mate.
Is it Jean-Luc Picard?
No.
Is it the geezer who plays number two in Star Wars? Star Trek.
Why are you going with the geezer that plays him? Whereas last time you went for the character in Jean-Luc Picard.
Because I'm clutching at straws, you motherfucker.
No, no. Just ask some questions, mate.
All right, okay. So, he's a person.
Yep.
Who was a person in a movie.
Yep.
And he's portraying a person.
Mm-hmm.
Person is the big thing here.
He's a man. He's male.
He's got a winkle.
A wee willy winkle.
Does he use his winkle in the movie?
Probably at some point.
Does he pop it in and out of there?
He's not known for it, no.
Oh,
he's in films that you write.
All right. Does he... Oh, hate you. Is he in superhero movies?
He's been in... one, and then a cameo in another.
Oh, you're a cunt.
Thank you.
It's been in one, and a cameo in another.
Just go with the been in one.
Is he... only one?
Mm.
Like, as a major one?
Mm. Or as a major character in one.
Is he funny?
He has been.
But is that what he's known for?
He's not a comedy actor, no.
So it's not Jim Carrey?
No, it's not Jim Carrey. And I'm not referencing Batman and Robin.
But he's been one of those ones. Are you sure he's not been in two?
He's been in one.
He wasn't in the sequel then.
There wasn't officially a sequel.
What do you mean he wasn't officially a sequel? It's mental.
There wasn't a sequel. There hasn't been a sequel yet. There is a sequel planned and currently being written.
Oh, shit.
People, you're welcome to guess as you're listening. Tweet to at ScroobiusPipio or at Redshift Rebels.
Has he been in horror films?
I guess.
No, I don't guess.
Yes.
Fuck
you, don't spill your drink. This is a new studio.
Thomas James.
Who's that?
Well, then you don't know shit, do you?
Apparently not. Keep going.
He's been in a superhero movie. It's not Michael Keaton, because that's obviously more than one.
Yeah, it's not.
Right?
He's been in a few, hasn't he?
Well, no. I don't give a fuck about a conversation about Michael Keaton.
Don't. You've taken the mic off the stand.
I've broken that.
Stop playing with the mic.
No, I haven't broken it. Oh, is it? It's not Jim Carrey either.
No, you've said that, mate.
Brandon Lee.
No, just ask questions. Don't crush my cookies, mate. This is the end of the podcast. This is an ending. He's crushing my cookies publicly. That's the noise of him crushing my cookies.
Right.
Make a point.
Give me his first name.
No. Cookie crushed. Officially. Come on, keep guessing.
God damn it.
Oh, we missed...
Dolph Lundgren.
No, just ask questions, not guessing names. What fucking superhero movie has Dolph Lundgren been in?
Hey, man.
Yeah, I guess so, that counts.
Exactly.
I'll give it.
Okay, right. Okay.
Okay.
We're going to be serious now.
Okay.
Let's be serious.
Okay.
Are you being serious?
Okay.
Are you being serious?
Mm-hmm.
Under Siege.
Right. Is that a question? Is that a sentence?
All I'm saying is that if you shaved your beard off and you're a really good chef, you could be Under Siege 5.
Let's try and pull it back. Let's pull it back. Okay. We're still guessing. We're going to wrap this up any minute now.
Give me a quick clue which includes all their names and details.
He's been in a lot of films.
Right. Right, so we're talking about old... we're talking about old Iron Man, haven't we?
Nope. I guess he's been in two superhero movies, it's just occurred to me.
Don't be a cunt.
One superhero movie and one comic book movie. And the superhero movie wasn't a comic book movie. But the comic book movie wasn't a superhero movie.
No, you've lost me, mate. I'm fucking wankered.
I'm sure you guys are guessing. If you want to tweet at Scroobius Pipio and at Redshift Rebels, make your guesses before the podcast ends. Come on.
No, I don't know. I'm too drunk.
You got it.
They were in a movie that wasn't a movie, which was also a comic book movie. And
they were in a superhero movie that was not a comic book ahead of it, and they were in a comic book movie that was not a superhero movie.
No, I'm too drunk, mate.
They were also in a lot of other movies, so let's not focus on the
superhero. Bruce Campbell!
No.
Oh. That's it. That's the end of it.
Any more questions, Chris?
No.
You'll get it. We need to give them an ending. We can't end on not getting it. You'll get it. Keep going. Come on. You got this.
Okay.
Exactly, mate.
All right. What we're talking about is a movie.
Yep.
And there are people in it.
He's a man.
He's a man.
He's been in many movies.
Right. And... is he in superhero movies that are more like rom-coms?
Nope.
So it's not Paul Rudd.
It's not Paul Rudd, mate.
But he's totally a superhero movie.
He has been in a superhero movie.
A superhero movie of the last 10 years.
I'd have to check. I'd say probably just over 10 years.
Has he been in movies that were based in Australia?
The fuck kind of question is
Eric
that?
Eric Banner.
It's not Eric Banner. He was in multiple superhero movies, mate. He played the Hulk twice.
That's what I'm saying.
So it's not him.
But he played the Hulk twice.
Feel free to stop listening now, guys. Keep going. We're going to keep going until we get this.
If he played the Hulk twice, all I know...
Little answer, he didn't play the Hulk twice.
But you just said he did.
He didn't even play the Hulk once. Banner played the Hulk twice. That's what I'm saying.
He played the Hulk twice?
It's not Eric Banner, mate.
Did he have anything to do with the Hulk?
Nah, mate.
So why are we talking about the Hulk?
Because you guessed Eric Banner. It's not Eric Banner.
Okay, let's be sensible.
In fact, we've established he's American.
Right, he's American.
Eric Banner's Australian.
Are we talking about the actor or the superhero?
The actor.
Right, the actor's American.
Yep.
Is the superhero American?
Yep.
Has the superhero got a cape?
Nope, not really.
Don't say not really, that's not different, huh?
He's got like a cagoule that goes a bit capey at one point, but no, not got a cape.
Batman?
Nope.
And he's got a cagoule?
I wouldn't focus on the superhero part, it's not what he's most known for. Where are you taking the mic? That's not going to pick up your audio. You're talking into the bottom of it. Let's pop it back in.
Shh.
Let's pop it back in the stand and point it at you. Here we go, mate. There's the mic in the
sand.
So.
Okay, I've got
next
it.
Next question.
I've got it sorted, man.
Yep, ask a question. Any other question? Ignore the superhero bit. It's not his main role.
It's Crocodile Dundee.
No. Crocodile Dundee. I don't know what superhero he ever played.
Where's the cagoule?
Next question, mate.
Is he black?
No. He's a white gentleman.
Is it
Bruce Willis.
It is Bruce Willis! Yes!
Jesus Christ.
The white gentleman. All I had to say was it's a white gentleman. And you were like, straight away, Bruce Willis. Because he was in Unbreakable. He was also in Split, which is a spoiler. So sorry about that. But he's in right at the end.
I'll tell you what, Pip's guessing game is the shittest.
You are bad at guessing. That is everything from us on the Distraction Pieces Drunk Cast. Stu has left this time. That's how bad this got. Anything you want to give people to sign off with, Christopher?
I just want everyone to be cool.
You've been listening to Scroobius Pip's Distraction Pieces.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.